advertisers often promise you a quick fix. Whether it is the diet that will shave off those crucial pounds for you to be able to go on holiday, whether it is so you can get your car through the MOT for one last time on the cheap, maybe it's the way you can transform your kitchen so that you can sell the house. Maybe it's the way you can sort out your pension, transform your finances. But you know that there is actually never a quick fix to these things. And that the solution to these things is always more difficult and more costly. And as we come to this parable that we read earlier on, we discover that when we face the most profound of all problems, that there is no quick fix. There is no quick fix. Now, sometimes when you come to the parables of Jesus, they're tricky to understand. Sometimes as you read them and they talk about people sowing seed, or they talk about people digging and finding buried treasure, or people fishing, or people finding a pearl. Sometimes they're a bit tricky to understand, and people have all sorts of fanciful interpretations. But this one is great because Jesus tells us what he meant. That means I can't get it really badly wrong this morning. Jesus tells us what he meant, because the disciples come to him and say, we didn't really get it, could you explain it? And so he does. So we begin by seeing that we're in a field. Jesus is speaking in an agricultural context. He's speaking to people who knew fields and farming. And perhaps a parable like this resonates much more in a setting like this, where there are fields around us and people come and go and plant and harvest and so on, than if you lived in a more kind of urban setting. But here we are told we're in a field. The field, we're told, is the world. The field is the world. Well, who does the field belong to then? Well, it belongs to the farmer, doesn't it? And the farmer, we are told, is the Son of Man. That's Jesus' own name for himself. Maybe that's something that at times it's easy to forget. Maybe when you turn the news on and you see some of the terrible things that go on in this world, maybe when you pick up your newspaper, it's easy to forget that, but the world is Jesus'. There are lots of different competing claims, but the world belongs to Jesus. And as we turn here now, I want to see this. There is a problem. If you're taking notes and you like headings, here's the first heading. Problem. They go out to the field, the workmen, and they find there are weeds growing in their field. And those of you who have a garden and know something about that, you know, there is a reality about this parable. It matches what we see around us. There are weeds in among the crop. Everything is not right in the world. By rights, everything in the world ought to be good. The field belongs to God. And we are told it was good seed that was sown. But here's a question. It's a real problem that bothers people. Maybe it's a question that bothers you. Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there so much trouble? If there really is a good God and he's in charge, why is there so much evil? Well, that's a good question. That's a powerful question. It's a significant question. And trite answers really aren't going to cut it here. Now I realize maybe you struggle with this. Don't get stuck here. If this is a problem for you, come to me. Let's sit down together. Let's work this through. We can talk about it. And there isn't a detailed explanation for us in this parable, but there is something given to us, and it's this. There's an enemy There's an enemy. And he's introduced the weeds into the field. He's introduced evil into the world. But the weeds in this parable, the evil, is not evil in some kind of abstract, impersonal sense. In this parable, there are people pictured for us. Those who are described as being the people of the kingdom. Which kingdom? Not the United Kingdom. Not even the kingdom of Israel. But the kingdom of God. They're God's people. God's people are pictured for us here. And the weeds represent the people of the evil one. Now there are only two categories laid out for us here. Either wheat or weeds. Either for God or against him. That's a pretty stark choice, isn't it? There's no wriggle room there. There's no kind of grey, fuzzy area in the middle. But it's set out for us here that there are those who are wheat and those who are weeds. Those who belong to God and those who are against him. And that throws up a question for us, doesn't it? If there are only two types, if there's weeds and wheat, which am I? Am I wheat or weed? Are you wheat or weed? Well, there's the problem. The problem is that there is evil in the world. The problem is that there are weeds among the wheat. So next we come with a proposal. The labourers, as they discover the problem, come to the farmer with a proposal. They have a quick fix. Easy, they say. We'll go for the field and we'll pull out the weeds. God, why don't you get rid of evil? Why don't you do away with suffering? How long is this going to drag on for? If you know your Bible, if you know some of the Psalms, quite often the Psalms, you get this expression, how long, Lord? But they then, those what now nearly 3,000 years ago, struggled with this problem of evil and how long it will they'll have to put up with it. And you, I know things have changed. I know so much has changed. You have a car and you have computers and telephones and all this wonderful technology, but at root it boils down to this, doesn't it? We all of us live in a fallen, broken world and we shout out, how long, God, am I going to have to put up with this? Let's talk for a minute about the weed. The weed is probably, well, it's probably something called darnel. It's a kind of grass. And one of the things about this grass, this weed, is as it grows, it looks very similar to the wheat that it's growing amongst. That until the ears of corn form and ripen, you really can't tell which is which. It happens to be poisonous. There's a fungal parasite, ergot, that lives in it. And so if it gets into your crop, it's bad news. But you've got the weed, darnel, and you've got the wheat, and you really can't tell the two apart. And if you go out into the field and start pulling up all the weeds, you are inevitably going to pull up wheat also. Now, this is interesting. Looking on, from the outside, the casual observer, even the experienced observer, the farm labourer, cannot tell wheat from weeds. Now, understand this. That means that there are people out there, people who seem to be respectable, decent folk, people who look like wheat, but actually they're weeds. And that's presumably true in here too. You all look a very respectable people. You do. It's lovely to look out and see you this morning. And you've brushed your hair. And you've got a clean shirt on. And you turn up every Sunday and you look very respectable, nice Christian people. Some of you help out with the cleaning rota, you put money in the offering, you go out and do help with the children or whatever it is. You look like wheat. But on the basis of this, we have to say that among the wheat, there must also be weeds. You say, whoa, Matt, how can you say that? It's a bit rich, isn't it? Maybe you're a bit angry with me. How dare you say that? Suggest that I might be weed among the wheat. It's what Jesus lays out for us here. I'm not going to apologize then for what he says. I'm just pressing it home here. Wheat and weeds are hard to tell apart. I don't know if you're wheat or weeds. Because I'm one of those laborers who gets sent out into the field. But I can't tell. Are you wheat or weed? Well, we saw the problem. This is a proposal. Let's go and fix it. We come then to a promise. And the promise is this. Things are not going to carry on like this forever. There is no quick fix, says Jesus. But there is a fix. Look at it here in verse 40. The promise is things will be dealt with at the end of the age. What is that? That is the day when Jesus comes again. And the promise is that he's going to judge the earth. And everything evil is going to be done away with. Isn't that what you have yearned for? That there would be no more suffering, there would be no more evil. You wouldn't turn on the news and see those terrible scenes. You wouldn't hear about the tragedies that go on even in your own locality, your own family circumstances. Evil done away with. The weeds get pulled up and burnt. Well, that's a terrible prospect. We're told they get torn up and thrown into a fiery furnace. The prospect of punishment. It's what the Bible calls hell. It's what happens to weeds. We're told that it is everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And you might say, well, that's not me. I don't do evil. Really? What is the standard for evil? Who gets to decide what's evil and what isn't? Is it you? Is it me? Is it our courts? Do they get to decide what's evil? Or our Prime Minister? Any volunteers to take this job on? No, I can't see hands shooting up. Who gets to decide what's evil? Myra Hindley, does she get to decide what's evil? Joseph Stalin, are they get to be appointed as deciding what's evil and what isn't? How about letting God decide? Letting God, who's sees all, knows all, created everything, who is good. What about letting him decide? God actually gives us an idea of what his standards are. In the Bible, there's something called the Ten Commandments. 10 instructions that God gave. Maybe we could use them as a starting point to work out what's evil and what isn't. Any of you know God's Ten Commandments? Anyone remember any of them? Think back to your Sunday school days. Here's one of them. Don't lie. Do not lie. You ever told a lie? Have you ever said something or written something or typed something that you knew to be less than entirely true? A half-truth, a white lie. God says don't lie. You ever told a lie? Answer that question without lying. If you lie, you fall into the category of those who do evil. God says, devote one day a week to him, a day when you put him first, a day you organize around him rather than around your own convenience. Have you set aside a day a week that you keep as being for him? Don't commit adultery, God says. Maybe you say, well, I'm okay there. But then Jesus tells us that someone who looks lustfully at another person has committed adultery with them in their own heart. Can you say you've never looked lustfully at someone, never fantasized about somebody? God counts that as evil. God says, honor your parents, obey them. However young or old you are, think back on your relationship with your parents. Did you always listen to them when you should have? I'm not even looking at thinking about my children in this, you know. I think about myself in this. God says, don't murder. You say, well, I'm okay there. Well, good. That's a start, isn't it? Except that then God, Jesus says this. He says, if you've been angry with your brother and sister, you're subject to judgment. Now, do I need to go on? I think I've just outlined 4 or 5 commandments. There's a bunch more. Anyone ready to put their hand up and say, no, I've never done anything evil? No, of course there isn't. It's God who gets to set the standard, and the statement, all who do evil, includes you and includes me. And you say, well, no one's perfect. I'm not so bad. You don't get to judge that. I don't get to judge that. God has set his standard. We, if we're honest, are weed, not wheat. And the day of harvest is approaching. So what hope is there then for us? This is pretty desperate, isn't it? Well, there is hope for us, and it's this. The great news of the Christian message, the good news is this, that the parable here is only part of the story. That God in his love towards you isn't willing to leave you as weeds to be burnt up. There is no quick fix to the problem of evil, but there is a fix. It's difficult, it's costly. But there is a way to go from being counted as weed to being counted as wheat. It's this, it's that God's own son, Jesus, came into this world. He was born as a baby, he grew into a boy, into a man. He was falsely tried. He was unjustly executed, he died on a cross. He was raised again. Jesus came to live among the weeds, among all the stench and filth of humanity's evil. And he makes this offer. It's the same offer we talked about with the children earlier. I will swap you, he says. I will give you my life. And I will take yours. I'll take your guilt, your shame, your punishment. There on the cross, God's anger fell on Jesus. The blazing furnace, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. It should be yours, Jesus takes it instead. And in return, you get credited with his life, his perfect obedience, his keeping of God's law. It gets counted to you. You get counted as what we call righteous. In other words, right with God. You go from being weed to being wheat. Well, how? That sounds too good to be true. What must I do? There is nothing left to do. There is nothing left for you to do. Jesus has done it all. Now, how do you respond when someone makes an offer to you like that? Somebody offers to swap you. You're a basket of rotten nastiness for this wonderful display of fruitfulness. What do? You say thank you. That is what harvest is, isn't it? It's a time when we give thanks for gifts. Well, let me tell you, receive this gift. Accept this swap. It's right that we come and we give thanks for God's goodness to us. But don't neglect the greatest gift of all. That his own son came to trade places with you. Are you weed or wheat? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we can read now. We thank you for all your gifts to us. We thank you particularly for the gift of joy and of freedom from guilt and of being right with you that is on offer in your son Jesus. Amen.